You might like to open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 13. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, again we have opened thy word, so God help us, that it might set us apart as it were, and give us the advantage of thinking your thoughts, moving in your direction, and our God happily doing so. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Now, we did the Gospel of Matthew in detail. So, and here we are, as we did last time at the end, in chapter 13, and picking up, if I can, in verse 51. Jesus saith unto them, have you understood? And we did that, so we're supposed to be understanding all these things. And they say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he, if you have understanding, then said he unto them, therefore every scribe, those that are into the book, lawyers, people that are there to understand, people that are understanding, but therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man, like, similar, unto a man that is a householder, a household manager. Person manages the estate, person manages the household, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And so the manager of the household exercises all the wonderful things in the household so that the household enjoys being in the household. The manager of the household helps everyone in the household enjoy all of the wonderful things that are found in the storeroom in the treasure. Now, having said that, and we did all the mysteries, starting before the cross, period of grace, tribulation, the end of the tribulation. So Matthew 13, mysteries of the kingdom, covers us from before the cross to the end of the tribulation. So, having said that, now, so interestingly enough, let's try to put that together. How are we supposed to be householders? How are we to enjoy these truths? So, over please to Daniel, and go backwards to come forwards. And in Daniel chapter 12, remember Daniel is a wonderful, Daniel, the prophecy of Daniel is wonderful like Revelation. You go Daniel in the Old Testament, Revelation in the New, as it were, movement. Now, so here's chapter 12, Daniel, and this is his last words before Daniel is taken off the scene. Verse 4, 12, 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, shut them up, and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. As this moves, the whole thing is going to develop in an awesome way. Now, verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not, said Daniel. I heard, but I understood not. Remember what we read in Matthew 13? Do you understand? And they said, we understand. Daniel, do you understand? Daniel says, I don't understand. Verse 8, I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and the sealed until the time of the end. So all the details you would like to know, you don't have them. You have wonderful understanding, Daniel, but you don't have them. So therefore, sliding over to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, and chapter 1, and Peter unfolding the wonderful truths. 1 Peter chapter 1, picking up directly if I can, in verse 10. I'll read verse 9 just for a little context. Receiving the end of your salvation, end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace which should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of God, Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them. They have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So now Daniel shut off, here's Matthew 13, the Lord said to the disciples, I'm going to turn it on. What was closed is going to be opened. So, and here the prophets, not only Daniel, but the rest of them, all wanted to understand the wonderful saving grace of God. Now, hang on to that part. What is a mystery? That's what we got to figure out. What is it that makes this mystery business? So, over to Philippians, and in chapter 4. Now, in chapter 4, you have the root verb, just tell you that, of mystery. That's the root. It's only used once. So let's look at that. The verb is going to make the word mystery come out for us. Now, chapter 4, and here's the Apostle Paul telling the believers in Philippi, etc., to be encouraged. Verse 11. Not 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I'm learning to trust God in the thick and thin of it. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased, go down low and be humbled, and I know how to abound in glory when things are great and wonderful. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. All things. So here's all of the benefits, the household, things new and old and wonderful. Paul, you're enjoying truth. That's correct. Therefore, in verse 12, everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. God has taught me how, teaching me how to be able to abide on the trip through time, the Apostle Paul. Now, do you see the word instructed? I have been instructed. The word instructed is the word mystery, instructed. And literally it means to shut the mouth. That's what it means. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Don't tell anybody what you know. It's a mystery. Ever had fraternities, Masons, Shriners, different things. Shriners, my uncle was a Shriner back 100 years ago. Shriner, secret. And you get initiated into the fraternity, into the group. It's a secret. And in order to stay in the group, you keep the secrets of how you belong. the fraternity, everything. That's Paul. Paul said, I have been initiated. I have been brought into the secret place. And the word initiated means, as it shut the mouth, and you understand? Don't tell anybody. How's that? Understand, don't tell anybody. Period. That's the word. Now, so Paul said, I've been initiated. And I know how. I know how in the initiation, in the understanding from God's word, I understand how to go up and go down, fall down and get up, and have everything and have nothing. I've learned. I'm learning it. Wow. Now, having said that, you got that word. Now, we'll proceed, if we can. Now, in the light of that, over to 1 Corinthians and in chapter 2. And may I pick up thought, if I can, in the light of verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. And remember, now Paul is telling about how he brings the gospel. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to nothing. I'm not preaching, said Paul, the wonderful truth I have isn't from Egypt, it isn't from school, it isn't from Rome. It's from God. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none, verse 8, none of the princes of this world knew, for they had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So what are we talking? We're talking about what? All these things? The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. That was that's God's plan. That's why everything, angels and everything, are created, because that's God's wonderful plan. That's everything is centered in the cross. The cross, that's a mystery. How can everything be centered in creation on the cross? That's what you need to keep in mind, that awesome, awesome truth in the middle of God's wonderful movement. God is making the outworking of the cross, and that is a mystery. So, Old Testament, we're busy trying to find it, but boy, we don't come very close compared to where we should, comparatively. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in 1 Corinthians, and sliding down to verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to reveal all of this truth so that we are householders, we are there. Hang on. Sliding down, if I can, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man save the Spirit, except the Spirit of man which is in him? Our relationship to God spiritually. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So what are we going to do? Think of Matthew 13 again. We're stewards. We're in the household of God. We're supposed to be understanding. That's why we did Matthew 13, among other things, to be understanding. So all of these mysteries, who understands them? No one understands them. They don't understand even. God, before the foundation of the world, died. How do they figure that out, right? They can't figure out what a woman is. They can't do that, let alone that. So you understand these mysteries. They're awesome mysteries. That's right. And we're getting smarter but stupider. You know what? Your little smartphone, your the pad that makes you brilliant, you know, the thing that you have, whatever, and you push the buttons and slide your finger and do all that stuff, all of that. Well, all of that is found in your computer. And it's being taken from your mind, and the mind of people are getting dumber. Not you, of course. The mind of people are getting dumber, and their computers getting smarter. And that's why the projection of the big, from the worldly big elite and all the people that are playing the game for the world power, global power, are what? They're knowing what? Artificial intelligence has to be the answer. The computer is going to be your God to help you understand what to do, because we're getting stupider, and it's very obvious. So you can't. I don't know how you go to school. I could never pass the test in school because you have to figure out what I am, right? I couldn't figure out what I am, so I can't even pass the test to know what I am. You know. Okay, now, anyway. So the Spirit of God is going to take all of these wonderful, wonderful truths. And now what we did last time to tie this, to put us on board the ship, to get going, chapter 4, all these wonderful truths are there, but they're a mystery, because who can understand them? And chapter 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, we did that, remember, last week. In closing, this man, ministers, has to do with the rowers. Think of the Roman ship and Greek Roman ships. And down below, the ships that where they rowed up on top. And there were ships where they down below the deck. And the people down below the deck are rowers. That's the word ministers, under rowers, under rowers. They're down the bottom rowing. That's what they're doing as they're going. They don't know what's going on up top. They're down below, they can't even see. All they know is row, and that's what they do. They row. And that's what they're doing. Up on deck, they all know where they're going and what's going on, but down below, they're the under rowers. With that in mind, verse 1, let a man so count of us as under rowers of Christ, and the stewards, we have a stewardship, we have an obligation, this household manages, of what? Of the mysteries of God. Now, why do we get all the wheat and the tare and all of those different things? Because I want to understand them. We're down below deck, but we're privileged. We're privileged as we're down below deck for God to do what he's doing in his most wonderful, wonderful way. God is outworking his great will in and about us. So down below, we can't see, but we know. We know how God is going down the corridor of time, and that's what we know. We always know the mysteries. We know what he's doing. We understand God's wonderful time of grace. Moreover, verse 2, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful, faithful in God's faithfulness. So here we are looking, we're stewards of the wonderful mysteries of God, and we're going down the corridor of time. And as we go down the corridor of time, we're to be exercising this stewardship. Knowing, now I'm going to give you things that are obvious, but really they aren't known. You know from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, that Christ died for all men. God would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what he wants. That's what God wants. That's a simple thing. Simple thing. And now the law was given to the Jews, Exodus 20. The law was given to the Jews, and the Jews couldn't handle the law, obviously, and they shouldn't have, because it was meant to be a schoolmaster, a jailer, to keep them in check until Christ died on the cross. So the law was there, and they were to be locked in the law. Now, did they understand grace? Do they understand grace? No. The law, no temple, can't do sacrifices. So here we are, and we're trying to figure out everything. all kinds of things. They have the liberals, the conservative, the orthodox, and everything. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, do they understand the grace of God? No, they don't. They don't have that. So the law, and the new, what is God doing and saying? The law doesn't save you. Obedience to the law doesn't save you. You have to be saved by God's wonderful grace and mercy. He's going to be a wonderful, wonderful Savior in a wonderful, wonderful way. Now, so we need to know that. People don't know that. Well, they can talk about things, but they don't know. They have no idea. No idea. We're the under-rowers, but we know. We know. We know what's the battle. We know the cost. We know how it's going to go. We know how it is. So are we willing to row? Absolutely. We know we aren't rowing into disaster. We're rowing and outworking God's wonderful will. So therefore, over to Romans 11. And as we look at the mysteries, we're to understand the under-rowers. We want to understand them. And we did this, and look at it again. Romans chapter 11, picking up, please, in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. It's a mystery. What's a mystery? Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part, has happened to Israel. That doesn't mean no Jew can be saved. It means that some Jews can be saved and some aren't going to be saved, because blindness, in part, has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles comes in. And so the Gentiles. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, the Gentiles. Now, the Jews, the Gentiles, that they didn't make that, they couldn't make that connection very good. So in the process, and here's all the old times of the Gentiles in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, and all of the times of the Gentiles are being worked out right now. They're all being worked out. We're still rowing. Here we are at this particular time, and things are all over the place. But we understand the mysteries. We understand why the world is like it is. How come the world's so stupid? How can it be doing what it's doing? Because of blindness, a blindness of their unbelief, and they can't see. And they're driving God, the devil, the god of this world, is driving them straight to where he wants them to be. Now, so having chapter 16 of Romans. And in chapter 16 of Romans, picking up, please, over in verse 25. Now, to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. What is it? The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. That God was going to create and make an awesome, wonderful display of his grace and his mercy in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, verse 26, but now is made manifest, what is that? By the scripture of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. In other words, how are we going to be saved? By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, God, I thought it was works. No, we're supposed to be somebody. No, you have to believe God. Adam and Eve believed God. Abel believed God. Cain did not believe God. And thousands of people in Genesis 6 did not believe God. They didn't want to believe God. They didn't want to have obedience. And it became darkness. So does darkness help you see? No. Blindness, darkness, you can't see. How do you distinguish between blue and green? when you can't see. You can't see. And so we love darkness because we can't distinguish. It's a mystery to us. God said, I want you to walk in the light. So it isn't a mystery. And you're down below. God, you're up above doing, we're in your presence, doing all that you're doing. I can't see what's happening in the Ukraine, the NATO, Washington, D.C. I can't see that, neither can we, any of us. But God does. And we understand. That's why we understand the mysteries, so that we understand what's happening. And we still what? Keep rowing. We aren't up there to fight the battles. We can't fix history. We can't change history. You can't do it. But you can certainly move through it successfully, taking as stewards the good and the bad and sharing it. That's what we're doing, to understand God's word, so that we understand the pluses and minuses as we're rowing down the corridor. Now, having said that, if I can, over to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3, and you'll notice, and for time's sake, let me go down to verse 3. Well, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. For I have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, stewardship of the grace of God, which is given me to you. How that, verse 3, by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before a few words. There's an awesome relationship we're to have to God in the grace of God, which is what we're doing all the time. Looking to, we have a unique relationship to God in Christ as his body. That's a mystery. No one can conceive that. They still don't conceive it. Believers don't even believe it. They don't believe it. God, here we are in them. You don't feel it, you don't smell it, you don't taste it. It doesn't move your insides, except God did it. God gave us, and by the way, that's to remind yourself, you say, well, what do you mean the insides? You have no idea of the thousands and thousands and movements of all the systems in your body that are doing awesome things right now, separating water, redoing oxygen, redoing everything, all over the place. Oh, you couldn't even imagine it. In fact, you get worn out thinking of it. Thousands of things going on. Do you feel it? No. But boy, it's going on. It is wonderfully going on. That's where you're saved, dear friend. If you received him as your Savior, you either is or ain't saved. And when you received him, that's what God is doing. He's giving you a unique relationship to himself. But I don't feel it. You don't need to feel it. You need to know it. You need to exercise what he told you he's doing. He didn't make your body is functioning because God is having it function. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And your body is functioning. God set it in motion. And God will stop it. And you have no say in it. And you can eat your Cheerios and run around the block 25 times and do everything, take your pills, and you're still going to die. And someone else is going to be 5,000, 10 pounds and take no vitamins and doesn't do anything, and they live to 99. Now, you figure that out. Figure that out. Well, you can't. God. So now, having said that, here's the Ephesians. Ephesians is the wonderful mystery of what? Christ in you. That's what it's all about. It's God. No one ever could conceive of this mystery, that God would be born in Bethlehem of Judea and be a man and make his wonderful, wonderful life known to the believing heart in a very, very unique way, demonstrating his grace, God in you, the hope of glory. Now, having said that, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So no one knew about it. Moses didn't know about it. Elijah didn't know about it. They didn't know. They had no idea that such a thing could be. That's why you read in Peter, the prophets have searched. They said, how can this come out all right? It's going to come out wonderful. It is coming out wonderful. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and so we shared in the light of that. In Matthew, you have to turn there, Matthew, remember. We looked at God's movement in all of history, the mustard seed and the leaven and all of those wonderful, wonderful things that show it all downhill, all negative. God ends up loser. No, God doesn't end up a loser. God ends up with a treasure. That's Israel, as we shared. God ends up with Israel and a nation to be the testimony to all the nations in his grace. God ends up the pearl of great price. God ends up with a pearl. Christ, the pearl. The pearl's in the middle of the oyster, as it were. And the pearl, the oyster doesn't spit out the pearl. The oyster keeps the pearl. And the pearl is covered with the oyster's mucus and locked in. So where are we? God took us sinners, nobodies, who believe, and God put us in his Son. How could we possibly be in his Son? In his Son, the Savior, who shed his blood to make it so he covers us and covers us, and we're kept in Christ. Wow. Now, that's a pearl. Having said that, pearl, the pearl. And God's doing what without turning there in Acts? God, what are you doing? Acts 15, I'm taking a people out for my name. Gentiles. Now, Jews don't think of Gentiles. That's what God's doing. Now, was Abraham was a Gentile, true? Abraham's a Gentile till God calls him, and then he becomes a Hebrew. He's the first Hebrew. First one, first Jew. That's what he did. And God did that. But I thought God died for the sin of the world. He did. So the Jews, you got to understand, the whole thing is to put together God's wonderful program to show his grace and his saving ability to save to the uttermost all that would come to God by him in a most, most wonderful way. Now, having said that, in the light of Acts chapter 15, picking up, please. So here's Abraham, and Abraham believed God, and God honored him all the way down the line. So all the way as we go down, as we're looking, it's a mystery. What's a mystery? It's a mystery to the Jews. It's a mystery to the Gentiles. The Gentiles have no idea that Christ died on the cross to give them an awesome relationship to him. If you don't think so, go and ask somebody. Can you understand that Christ died for you to give you a unique, eternal relationship to God in a most personal way in Christ? How can that be? We can't. So we keep doing what we do religiously in every way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and God is going to go from grace to wrath, and Habakkuk, as you would know, in his most, most wonderful, wonderful way, said, Habakkuk 3, God, as he's looking at Nebuchadnezzar, as he's looking at Jerusalem in the days of Jeremiah, etc., looking at that time, and he says, God, I know the wrath has to come, chapter 3, verse 2. But please remember, God, in your wrath, be merciful. be merciful. That's what he prays. Now, God, a mystery. Wrath? No. Yeah, wrath. Awesome wrath. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, Colossians. We are stewards of the household of God. We're to enjoy these truths. That's what we're just refreshing. I know it's a lot for you quickly, but refreshing your mind of all the mysteries. That's what we're supposed to know. We enjoy them. We aren't supposed to tuck them under the pillow or something. We're supposed to practice them. We're under rowers. I'm not working out the system, and you aren't working out the system. God is. We're the rowers, but I do understand how it's going. I know how it's going. You know how it's going. And that's why we can row, and we get out of bed and do it again. Another day, another hour, and we do it again. Why? Because we know. We know. Now, Colossians. Each letter, each epistle, etc. Colossians 1, verse 26. I'll read verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me, that's the dispensation of grace, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to us, to the saints. So the mystery, shut your mouth and don't tell anybody. No, we know the mystery, and we're to enjoy the mystery. It's no secret. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is this mystery? Among you, among the Gentiles. What is it? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The wonderful, you receive Christ as your Savior, and he is the glory of God, the hope of the glory of God. It's a mystery that God would find his home in your heart. Wow, that's an awesome thing. Chapter 2 in Colossians. What is our whole movement then? Verse 2. That our hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, 2:2, unto the riches, all the riches of the full assurance of understanding again, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, Christ in you, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we have an awesome, awesome relationship to God, and we're to exercise that relationship to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. In chapter 4, we're to exercise it. And in Colossians in chapter 4, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 3. That I might, verse 3, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So I want to, God, open the door. I want to be able to say what? Without going back there, 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul, what did you say to Corinth? I determined to know nothing among you except what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's a mystery. That's the mystery. And we're making known the mystery because it isn't a mystery anymore. It's to be understood and exercised and enjoyed in a most, most wonderful way. Ephesians, back over to Ephesians. Ephesians in chapter 1. Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 9. All I'm doing is running mystery, just to understand, to understand the mysteries a little bit anyway. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9. Made known unto us, 1:9. The mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, to know the wonderful mystery of God's will in a most, most wonderful way. Now, God, it's a mystery. Aha. Now, I'm going to skip all the way over if I can for everything. It's for time. Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, May I pick up, please, in verse, you'll catch it, in chapter 5, I'll read verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Reason, 4, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, having said, it's all about a unique relationship, husband and wife, Genesis chapter 2, 24, the two, you'll leave your father and mother, and the two of you will become one flesh. One flesh. Now, one flesh, one flesh. That's right. And I know that's offensive to some, because God tells you, where did the woman come from? Do you remember where the woman came from? They came from Adam's side. Where did God find that woman? In Adam. He took a piece of Adam out, and that's where he found the woman. The woman is from the man, and the woman is from the man. They are one flesh. One. Marriage about one flesh. Now, if I asked you to go out and have a survey of the next 1,000 people and ask them, married or whatever they are, and ask them, how one flesh are they? How one flesh are they, married people? One flesh. No, he's this way and she's that way. They are one flesh. Do they understand what? No, they don't understand it. That's understandable. No, that's why we can come and go and take and leave and do all the stuff. Now, God, it's one flesh. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. But we don't understand the mystery. So we do what we do as humans. But God said, the mystery is still wonderfully true. Watch it. You know it. It isn't true. Verse 30. 4, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We're one flesh. Who's one flesh? In Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've become one. A unique oneness in Christ Jesus. A wonderful way. And by the way, chapter 5, verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. But, what are you talking about? God, I don't understand. Verse 32. This is a great mystery. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. One flesh. That's an awesome mystery. But it isn't talking about this kind of oneness, because we don't understand it, and it isn't even connecting. Because one person can be saved and the other person's unsaved. And they're two different things, right? Husband saved, wife unsaved. Two different things. That's there. They're still married, but they're separate. Now, but it isn't talking about that. Verse 32. For this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church, the body. You are part of the body of Christ. That's what you are. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 22, 1:22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Which church? Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's his body. That's what he's talking about. Marriage is a picture of God's wonderful grace that you could be related to him as one body. That's what it's about. And so we go from humans to God. Humans are all end. Our marriage ends, our life ends, our relationships all end. They all terminate. But we aren't meant to be on earth forever. We're meant to know God from the day we're born physically till the day we die. To receive God as our Lord and Savior. And that's what it's about. It isn't about here. It's about there. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I may, in the light of that, And picking up, please. Over to, if I can. Well, Timothy. 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, picking up, please. And you'll catch it. We'll have to move quick, but you'll get at least a little of it anyway. 1 Timothy, if I can, chapter 1. Picking up, please. If I can, having in 1 Timothy chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm at chapter 1. That's why it isn't working out. Chapter 3, verse 9. Holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. A mystery. It's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And you're saved by faith. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You couldn't do anything. It's a gift. And you receive the Lord as your Savior. And you do so, verse 9, with faith, believing, and a good conscience. Conscience, a little way to remember that, is just think of a scale. A scale. And conscience helps you balance your scale. You're weighing what you have to think, do, feel, deal with over here. And over here is on the other side. What God says and how God acts and your grace and God's help in every way to help us, and it balances, so I understand. My conscience is working, right, wrong. And the more I know the God word, the more it works. And so I do that. But if I don't do it right, you're already here, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, where we are, some shall depart from the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, how are the devils demons? Speaking lies, having their conscience, there's your little word, seared with a hot iron. Now, what happens when you do that? You take your conscience and sear it, and it loses its sensitivity. You know on your fingers, your fingerprint. Fingerprint. God put that there so you feel, your senses. If I could take away your fingerprint, you wouldn't feel. You would feel it, but you wouldn't be sensitive. It's because of those little lines that God made to make you sensitive. When your conscience is seared with a hot iron, it doesn't work quite right like that. And when they do, I don't know whether I'm a woman or a kangaroo. They're not helping. Downhill. Wrong thing. Wrong way. So therefore, and that's how the doctrines are. How can we have such stupid thoughts? Because your conscience isn't even weighing. Common sense. Common sense doing. We can't have common sense. But our conscience is so seared, so out of whack. We've been brainwashed for years. Colleges, and we're living with generations now that have been years and years trained in college to be like this. And you aren't going to get rid of it. No. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, in chapter 3. Now, God, here we are looking, and we don't want to have, we want to have, make sure we exercise our conscience. So, 2 Thessalonians, and in 2 Thessalonians, and if you do that, I'm going to go back a few, just a page to do it, so I get a little better order. First Timothy, I should say, go back, hold your finger in Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, and chapter 3. And you would, I'm going to go directly, if I can, to verse 16. 3:16, directly, light of the context. And without controversy, Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. It's an awesome mystery of godliness. Godliness. God, 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 God. Well, good, God. Well, worship, godliness. To worship God, a wholehearted worship of God. Godliness, godliness. Godliness is very profitable. But that's the mystery of godliness. That you and I could have such a relationship to God like that. That we could honor God, please God, under rowers, down below, understanding the good and the old, the right and the wrong, the mysteries and how it's going. We know how it has to go. Therefore, 2 Thessalonians, and may I pick up, please. And in 2 Thessalonians, if I can, chapter 2. And may I go directly, if I can, to verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity, iniquity is lawlessness, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let the Spirit of God until he be taken out of the way. The Spirit of God is going to take the church. But right now, godliness on the one hand, lawlessness, iniquity on the other hand, here we are looking, the mystery of lawlessness. And mystery, how could God, right, you want to ask, and you do, rightly, how could God have it be so far out? Mystery. How far out could it be? So far that you'll choose the world will, the Antichrist in the temple as God. That's how far out. They'll choose a man to be his God. That's how far out. Wow. Now, having said that, mystery of godliness, and all of that is there in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And in the light of all of that, keeping that in mind, and you know, in the process, sliding over, if I can, to Revelation and chapter 17. I'm cutting out some, but I hope you get a little bit, mysteries, with the stewards of them. I need to understand them. I don't, no one else wants to understand them, maybe, but I do, you do, because we're rowing. I want to understand what's going on. I can't fix anything, but I need to understand why it exists. Now, so, over if I can to, what I say, Revelation, did I say that? 17? I said that, okay. Revelation 17, picking up please, you'd know. Picking up please, over in verse 17 and in verse 5. And this is the ecumenical system coming up out of the World Council of Churches and all of this stuff. And it's going to be called, does anyone think it today? Or do they think of Catholicism and Protestantism and Islam? And they don't see that. They don't see that. No. No, they don't see it. Verse 5. Who and upon this woman, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. That religious system is horrible. And they don't know they're horrible. They think it's wonderful. Somehow it'll make the world come out good. What we're doing in our thought, in all of the absurdities of our thinking, will come out somehow. No, it isn't. They don't even have that in their mind. They don't have the future of oil or anything. All they have is the result is to get rid of what we have. And you don't want to get rid of what you have unless you can replace something, true? But we're going to get rid of what we have without any replacements in their mind. Now, so therefore, verse 7. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore did thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. And we thought it's Revelation. God said, I'm going to help you understand. But it's a mystery. A mystery. No one ever believed that this would happen. The church will be the dominant. No, it isn't. The church is shrunk and trying to survive amidst great hatred and opposition. Now, Revelation chapter 1. So here we are. Revelation chapter 1. Picking up if I can. And in Revelation chapter 1, may you go, you know it. Here we are. Now, here we're just a little bunch of people meeting on the Lord's Day, assembled believers seeking for all these time to follow the Lord and trust Him. That's what we're doing. Now, God, where does that come from? Verse 20, Revelation 1:20. And the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, the seven golden candlesticks or lampstands. The seven stars are the angels, the ministers, servants of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks, lampstands, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. So the church is a golden. And you know what happens as you read Revelation chapter 2? Gold. It's God, gold, an awesome entity in Antioch, Jerusalem. But what happened to the gold? What happened to God when God was left out? Revelation, the Laodiceans. God said, I wish you were hot or cold. I spew you out of my mouth. So God, where's God? Where's the gold? There is no gold in the churches. Now, that doesn't mean God's doing wonderful things in His grace. But generally speaking, here's all of the churches. Think of now the mustard seed and all the tree. All of those different things come into play. Wow, there isn't any gold. No, it's a mystery. Right, we didn't understand it in the first place. Church history, Reformation, all the way down the line, till here we are. Well, that was always been a struggle in church history. What is that? To understand you're the body of Christ meeting, and it's absent century after century after century. Reformation with Luther, they're just trying to get back to the justification by faith. Are we going to get back to we're the body of Christ? It's a very history. Very hard to find it very much because it isn't there. And when it is there, it disappears. And that's where we are, to be the body of Christ. We shared it with you 1,000 times and you know it. Very rarely when people talk about church, I'll bet you 1,000 times, 999 times out of 1,000, they'll never say His church. I'll bet you. They don't do it. We don't see it as a church. It's our church. It's our thing. Wow. Now, having said that, so here's what happened to the gold. The gold's all gone. In closing, over I can. Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. And you will note. And picking up, please, here's the Apostle John. And, if I can, picking up, please, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. God is going to finish his mystery. So John, looking at all the outworking, Revelation chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all of the tribulation coming up, God, when's it going to finish? And God says, to remind him, the seven trumpets and all of that, it's on its way to being finished. I'm all finished with the mystery. I'm going to reign 1,000 years as king, and then we're going to start all over again. New heavens and new earth. But the mysteries will end. I'm going to bring an end to the mystery. Mysteries to the end of the tribulation, he comes. I'm going to end it. You won't want to be in a mystery anymore. No one will be in a mystery anymore. Everyone that's on earth will know me. And there'll be no need to anyone teach anybody in that sense. You will know who I am. Wow.